The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers that are scaling six times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's June 30th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Klarna CEO claims they will be a super app. Walmart investor event sheds new light. Should you put a chatbot in front of your retail store? And musings from Commerce Next and Mirakl Summit. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Klarna CEO claims that the company is going to become a super app. Let's get this out of the way first. I don't think this is going to happen. Whenever I see this term super app used in North America, it's almost always look out below because grift and hallucinations follow. First, the term is meaningless at this point. You want a real super app? It's ChatGPT. The last person to announce they were building a super app? Elon Musk's X. Hold my beer, I'm still waiting on a reason to give a social media my bank account details. There you go. In a recent payments article, the Klarna CEO announced the following. We're going to become yet another financial services company with a phone plan. We're trying to be a super app. We want to be a financial advisor in your pocket. Klarna is going to be adding stocks and cryptocurrencies. Is this what defines a super app? Wouldn't that make Block's Cash App already a super app? Only 57 million users there. I mean, it's noteworthy, but not transformational. So what's really going on here? Ultimately, I think they're trying to get the attention of PayPal. Essentially, there is a battle brewing where PayPal is possibly not able to modernize quickly enough to take on the threats of newer financial services upstarts. It's possible that the whole thing is a ploy to get acquired by PayPal, which has been acquisitive historically, and PayPal has a much higher overall valuation. If this is Klarna's ploy, it still has not only brand work to do, but also significant revenue diversification issues. When the company filed its F1 prior to its upcoming IPO, it revealed that buy now, pay later is 80% of its revenue, and that number is accelerating year over year, not shrinking. Which means the company seems to increasingly be grasping at straws to get off its single buy now, pay later horse. Our second story. Walmart investor event sheds new light, retail media as biggest untapped opportunity. In the last 2 weeks, Walmart revealed a bit more post-earnings call information that I wanted to highlight for everyone. It was covered at the Oppenheimer Consumer Growth event on June 9th. Here are a few items. Q2 off to a great start. March was actually more in line with what they expected. And then, with Easter moving to April, the company saw really great performance around then, and so there's a good start to the quarter. Tariffs are causing 20% less inventory depth in some cases. For high average unit retail tariff-sensitive items, they're buying less into the selection depending on price-demand elasticity. Barbecue pits were one example mentioned, and as much as 20% less was a number called out. It's really here that Walmart's sophistication shines, in my view. General merchandise is still dragging. Consumers are still prioritizing food, leading to a continued sluggish rebound. E-commerce profitability is accelerating. The company hit a major milestone last quarter, which was overshadowed by tariffs. E-commerce profitability. They doubled the number of deliveries under 3 hours in the last 12 months. This is a premium or paid service. Some weeks, the express service is 40% of deliveries. That's very material. Some key factors to profitability for Walmart, 2/3 of profit growth is coming from alternative revenue streams, such as advertising, membership, marketplace, data, and premium express shipping, and improving last mile batch density. Advertising was specifically called out as one of the biggest unlocks. According to my research, Walmart Media is 3 times less penetrated on a GMV basis relative to Amazon. Vizio acquisition accelerates their ad revenue because they don't need to carry the item in their marketplace to advertise it. And I think these last two points are critical to how Walmart and most retailers need to see the universe. First-party retail is one level, and then you can sell ads against that, sell data streams, and there is premium fulfillment revenue you can generate. Third-party marketplace is another level, and there are multiple revenue streams here. Pure advertising is on another level beyond that, literally selling anything against content people are watching on the devices that are powered by Walmart's media network. This potentially has an even larger surface area than marketplace third-party items. Based on these comments, we have not seen the last of Walmart's acquisitions in electronics and the connected device space. Walmart will continue to look for more ad inventory that is not tied to a fulfillment of an item itself or through one of its marketplace partners. Our third story. Should you put a chatbot in front of your retail store? There are a lot of people speaking about how LLMs and agentic shopping will disrupt how we buy online. Yet we seem to be forgetting that 80% of shopping still happens offline. And online research is already pretty efficient today. There will still likely remain a large cohort of use cases, social behaviors, and user types that will demand physical interaction. Even if you use an LLM to help your research, it doesn't mean it will replace your shopping journey. It also could help you reserve the top three brands for you at the store to check out or even try on further. After all, even your favorite brand sizing isn't always consistent. It could also help you place pickup orders if that's more convenient for you. But what about within the store itself? Mr. A16Z, Mark Andreessen, threw a swing and a miss on predicting e-commerce would destroy physical stores over 10 years ago. I would predict the same fate to LLMs. Let's not give in to hyperbole here. Not just yet. We all know the standard response to any sales rep at the front of a store. No thanks, I'm just looking. Why? You don't want to bother to get to know this person and give them context. Even if an LLM could transfer context from your personal agent in a privacy-safe way, the same thing could be true of an annoying, even if useful, robot trying to talk to you at the front of a store. Who's got the time? But what if you are walking through the store and have a Perplexity and Apple agentic shopper in your AirPods? Would the scenario change, and what would that mean? Not just product data, but sales rep, POS checkout, store layout, item location, retail planogram, physical shopper intent and conversion could all be fair game for LLM input. You would still have the freedom to follow your own path and keep your own data to yourself and your private agent. Could your personal agent remind you if the product you're looking at matches the product you're working at back at home without phoning a friend? Definitely seems possible. How about if the paint cover you're staring at happens to be a color your wife hates? To me, replacing online research and buying is great, but we're talking about cannibalization. Agentifying the physical world is going to be the most interesting cases, and the world is your surface area. And our last story. Musings from Commerce Next and the Miracle Summit. Having attended Commerce Next and Miracle Summit this week, I got a chance to speak with a number of brands and companies about the future. It's produced the following thoughts. First, I see three groups of people with regards to the AI revolution, which is still in its very, very, maybe not even first inning. Group one is people who don't even realize that change is coming. They're just doing the same thing they do every year, Pinky, trying to beat last year's comps. This is most upper mid-market and enterprise brands. They don't know what they don't know and aren't worried about it either. This is about 40% of people by my estimation. Group two is people trying to leverage AI on-site to please their investors and their bottom line, or increase conversion rate a few basis points. These people think there's a lot of potential, but they're still thinking very small. This is probably most people, maybe even over 50%. Group three, instead, are convinced that something major is happening, are actively trying to figure it out, and have teams dedicated to reimagine not only their existing workflow and processes to take advantage of the public LLMs. This is less than 1% of people. What strikes me about the coming AI revolution is still the importance of data and systems of record. BigCommerce could have a sneaky strategy here with Perplexity, which relies on Feedonomics and its integration with systems of record at major brands. Could it be that BigCommerce being asleep the past few years has actually worked in their favor for once? Inquiring minds want to know. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Fermat raises $45 million in Series B funding. Fermat, an AI-native commerce platform, has raised $45 million in Series B funding, which will be used to invest in its technology platform and to hire talent. Second, PMG acquires Momentum Commerce. PMG, a global independent marketing services and technology company, announced the acquisition of Momentum Commerce, a digital commerce agency, for an undisclosed amount. The strategic acquisition enables PMG to offer omnichannel digital marketing services and expand its retail media and marketplace offerings for global brands. Congrats to my friends John Shea and Molly Doe on the acquisition. Third, Klay reportedly secures a Series C at a $3 billion valuation. Data enrichment and sales automation platform Klay has raised an undisclosed Series C funding round at a $3 billion valuation a month after a $1.5 billion tender offer, which enables Klay staff to sell shares to Sequoia Capital. Fourth, Middle Mile Freight Network Warp has announced that it's raised $10 million in Series A funding, which will be used in its technology platform, a fully robotic cross-dock, and automation with minimal hiring. And finally, Figma acquires open-source headless CMS Payload. Figma, a cloud-based design tool, has announced the acquisition of Payload, a headless open-source content management system, for an undisclosed price. Payload will remain open-source, and the transaction provides a more seamless workflow for designers, developers, and content teams. It's not hard to imagine what they're predicting here, and CMS space, look out below. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.